This is Logan Sekulow with breaking news. The United States to sanction Cuban officials.
Live from Washington, D.C., Sekulow Live.
We call on the government of Cuba, to refrain from violence. There are attempts to silence the voice of the people of Cuba.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Dozens of people have been reportedly arrested in the protests, including journalists. Many demonstrators were also injured in clashes with police and pro-government activists.
And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
This is Logan Sekulow joining you also. Will Haynes, Wes Smith, and Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. There's breaking news and a report that you're not seeing a ton going out on right now. So if you're watching mainstream news, you may have not seen it because, again, sometimes these things just get out of the news. But there are reports right now that the Biden administration, the U.S., is going to sanction Cuba officials following the attacks on the protesters. This is all coming out right now. I believe it's a report we have in front of me from the Washington Post saying that the Biden administration will announce new sanctions today against a number of Cuban officials deemed directly involved in human rights abuses during a government crackdown on widespread protests earlier this month, a senior administration official said. So the big question, Will, on this, and obviously for Than and for Wes, and we have a great new piece we'll discuss that Wes just wrote. Is this too little, too late? Is it 2 weeks later, and now this is where we get to a point where you're making a sort of, well, we're sanctioning, what are you sanctioning? Specific people who may have had a and what does that even mean?
So what we're hearing from this report, which, as you pointed out, Washington Post was the first to break. Now it's starting to find its way into other media sources that they're going to impose these sanctions on specific small number of individuals from Cuba's interior ministry and military forces. So the question is, how small of a number is it? Is it not a proportional response to their crackdown on what was the largest and really the first mass protest in about 60 years in Cuba? So we're going to see how this plays out. And there are a lot of details that are going to start coming out throughout the day. But there's also been reports that he's going to seek measures to help restore internet to Cuba and things that we had been talking about earlier in this week. So a lot more details going to start coming out today. We're going to stay on top of it, but we need to see how this plays out before we completely judge these actions.
Yeah, I want to go to Than in D.C. Has the Cuban whole situation that's unfolded the last few weeks of what's happening in Cuba, has it really taken a hold of Washington, D.C.? Does the reaction seem proportionate to you?
Well, I think, like Will said, I think it's going to depend on what the details are here. I do think it's too late, Logan. I mean, I think it was apparent days ago that action was needed by the Biden administration. I would tell you, just sort of on a top level, I think it's good that there is movement coming out of this. But I would ask the secondary questions. I would go even maybe a little bit further than Will did. I think the sanctions are an acknowledgement that more is needed from the United States. And I would say on two fronts. I mean, I think it's ironclad proof that the administration needs to do things tangible to stand with the demonstrators. We've talked before about getting the internet turned on. I think that is something that should be at the very top of the list. And then second, Logan, I think it's ironclad proof that people that are fleeing Cuba coming to the United States probably have about the best asylum claim that there is. And yet this administration has said they're not going to consider it. So look, I think it's good news. I don't know how good. We'll have to see the details, but it's proof that some of these secondary actions are needed.
Yes, it's movement. It shows when people stand up and they react that, you know, answers are at least given somewhat. Hey, we're taking your phone calls. I want to hear from you. They're lighting up right now, but we have a few lines open, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to talk about in the next segment. Wes Smith is here. He's a brand new blog that just went up on our website minutes ago called Cuba and the Cry for Freedom. We're going to discuss that, what that looks like, and why you should go to our website. Obviously, take a look and read that. Heck, you can do it during the break if you want to. That's at ACLJ.org. We can also donate because it's part of our matching challenge right now through the month of July, which means effectively any donation that you give, there's someone on the other end matching that donation. So if someone gives $10, there's a person on the other end matching that $10, so on and so on, into the thousands. So we appreciate your support. Hey, if you're watching on social media, share right now. Share on Facebook. Like if you're on, hey, someone took a picture, I think. But share on Facebook. Like, repost, retweet, get the word out there. Thumbs up. Do everything you need to do to get the word out there about this breaking news that's happening right now as the U.S. finally responds to the situation happening in Cuba. We'll be right back with more on Sekulow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. I did want to discuss currently what's going on, and that is there's reports out this morning that the Biden administration is going to sanction Cuban officials following, they put in Washington Post, following the attack on protesters. So it's a bit nuanced, a bit specific, but we're going to see what that is. But beyond that, and the whole discussion of Cuba, there's a brand new blog on our website called Cuba and the Cry for Freedom, and Wes Smith, who wrote that blog, is sitting here right next to us. Give us a little bit of a rundown of what this is and why people should go take a look at it.
Yeah. You know, this is a rare opportunity, both for the Cuban people and for the United States of America. The Cuban people, unlike other countries in Latin America, they have never demonstrated. They've never come out in mass demonstrations demanding freedom. Part of the reason for this is that the other countries in Latin America have been, you know, somewhat free, somewhat democratic, and then over the last 10, 15 years have gradually become authoritarian kind of governments of the people. So they, them protesting, they remember what democracy is like. Most of the Cuban people have lived under the Castro regime all of their lives. For them to say enough is enough and to come out in mass demonstrations to risk torture, imprisonment, even being executed to do that, is an unprecedented thing, and that's part of what's going on here. And we're talking about the president and these new sanctions. My problem, much like Than's, with what President Biden has done, is that his response thus far has been tepid and very measured. This is not the time to be tepid and measured. He needs to be, you know, unequivocal in his support of the people who are demanding freedom in Cuba. And part of that equivocation that I see, the hesitation on the president's part, is that he has not expressly countered the contentions by people like Bernie Sanders and AOC and others in the last 2 weeks who have actually come out in support of the Cuban regime, saying that it's one of the most equitable and fair countries in the Western Hemisphere, which is a blatant lie. They brag on the Cuban regime. You know, when people who are part of the Democrat Party do that kind of thing, the president needs to come out and flat out reject those kinds of contentions and arguments. And thus far, he's not done that.
Yeah, one of my biggest issues with this specific case and what's happening in Cuba is obviously as Americans, as Christians, as conservatives, you want to react. You want to be able to do something. You want to get involved. But even just as Americans, you'd think you'd want to get involved because of what's happening, like you said, 90 miles off the coast. When there is a very lack of freedom, we said they've never taken to the streets. This is a moment of action. And much like everything, Maybe I could pitch this to Than. Much like everything, it feels like in Washington, everything gets through a Washington, D.C. filter now. So there's no longer just an American feeling of, okay, we definitely all need to be behind the Cuban people, support what's going on, and at least promote. We're not necessarily, even if we don't know how necessarily, we know that there is a good and a bad side to this. But everything, really in the last 8 years, 6 years, has become so divided that even on a specific instance like this, where there is clearly, I feel like, a good and a bad, it can't be that way. It has to be a divided political, you know, issue.
I really couldn't agree with you more, Logan. And look, there's a government response and there's an individual response. Maybe just a word on both. On the government response, Wes is correct. It's become very in vogue in Washington, D.C. to blame the United States for what is happening in Cuba. Logan, we got to be very clear. The human rights abuses and the oppression that's happening in Cuba is the fault of the Cuban regime. Plain and simple, it's not the fault of the United States. And there's a lot of talk about the embargo. Marco Rubio said this. He said, I would say most of the people that give opinions don't even know what the embargo is or how it works. There's only two embargoes here. The embargo that the United States has against government-owned companies, which, Logan, I would tell you that's appropriate, and then the embargo that the Cuban regime imposes on its own people. And then, Logan, maybe just a word on the individual response, especially as believers. We're called to seek justice and love mercy. Seek justice means cracking down against oppressive regimes that are harming their own people. And of course, it goes hand in hand with loving mercy and extending a hand of help to those who are fleeing and seeking freedom. Logan, that goes back to the asylum point we've made so many times. This is why we have asylum laws in the United States of America. We should use them.
Yeah, we talked about this a bit in our prep meeting. That I don't know if a lot of our audience, a lot of people know, sort of the presence of the U.S. in Cuba, that there is an embassy, that we are working towards different things in Cuba continually, because we hear mainly about the embargo. We mainly hear about the fact that, you know, we're cut off. We can't really have, you know, there's been some loosening with some cruise lines over the last few years, and it feels like that's an on and off again relationship. But we do have a government presence in Cuba.
Yeah, the embassy's there. Of course, there's an investigation, as we talked about in the pre-radio meeting, about, you know, this sonic weapons, perhaps, that have been used against our staff people in Havana, what they call the Havana syndrome. But we do have a presence there. Although part of my issue with President Biden, you know, we've said on this broadcast, and it's true, that the Biden administration is really Obama 2.0. When it comes to being pro-abortion, when it comes to the Iran nuclear deal, anti-law enforcement, open borders, it is like the Obama administration has come back to visit us. And in light of that, I wonder about President Biden's deep convictions about Cuba, because it was President Obama, and he was the vice president, who really went to Cuba, went to a ball game, befriended Raul Castro,
right,
you know, tried to ignore all of the oppressive abuses that are going on down there. President Obama, with that presidential visit, gave the Cuban regime legitimacy. And President Biden needs to flat out reject any legitimacy of this regime. And all of the abuses and the oppression and the torture, the executions, all of the things have been going on for the last 100 years are basically with socialist and communist governments, of which Cuba is example number one.
Well, and also one of the problems we had earlier in the week was that there wasn't really a response from the administration. And while we think that the tools such as sanctions can be a good thing for our government to use, that's a part of the tool set that a government has to affect change in different countries in different ways without having to even use military might or something of that nature. But what we saw here was a very tepid, almost non-existent response from the Biden administration, and almost like they were trying to placate to the left of their party. But at the same time, now, 2 weeks after these protests and demonstrations started, they're announcing this. And there was a political operative that was quoted in Politico that said it's huge because no administration has ever announced they will hold individuals who violate human rights on the island of Cuba accountable. They've just done the blanket embargo. That's a good thing, right? They're showing some strength. But the converse of that is that their language and rhetoric don't really line up. Why didn't they announce immediately, we're looking at who we're going to go after to put it into these human rights abuses?
Also, what do these sanctions mean when we're not necessarily actively, you know, working with them? You know, is it just in name only to have these sanctions, or is there, are there real consequences?
Yeah, the president has the bully pulpit, and that's been the disappointment for me. He should have been making strong statements on a daily basis in support of the Cuban people, and he's not done that. I think, to Will's point, I think he does want to placate the leftists in the Democratic Party who tend to be pro-Cuban regime, pro-socialist, and things like that. But here's the thing. The president needs to be willing to take a political risk on principle, because the people in the streets of Cuba are taking real physical risk for their cries for freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I want you to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, with your thoughts on the situation in Cuba and the breaking news that there will be some sanctions of Cuban officials. And I want to hear from you and your thoughts, 1-800-684-3110. I believe Rick Rennell is going to be joining us in the next segment. He has a lot to say about Cuba. In fact, he's a person who brought my attention to this as we head to break. This is someone you would maybe not expect. Maybe you thought the Biden administration would say something similar to this. But no, we have to go to our entertainers and those who really are passionate. Here is Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull. This is Bite 31 on his thoughts about Cuba. Maybe, you know, there should be a revolution there. Let's go 31.
Let me tell you something. Why I'm frustrated and when I see everybody out there and doing what they're doing, which I love what they're doing. Okay? Because not only do we live for freedom, we ride for freedom, we die for freedom, but we appreciate freedom. And it gets me hot, it bothers me, and it frustrates me to a certain extent, being a Cuban American and having a platform to speak to the world and not being able to help my own people. Not being able to get them food, not being able to get them water, not being able to get them medicine. But most of all, not being able to help and really get them what they deserve, which is freedom.
Yeah, so that's just a small clip of the statement from our entertainers, of making stronger statements than what's coming out of the White House. That's from Pitbull. You can find his whole statement on Twitter. I will tell you, we had to edit some of that for language, obviously. There is some choice words, but understandably, it's a frustrating time. I can imagine being someone who is sort of the king of Miami, if you will, would be someone who is very passionate about this. And I think it's interesting to hear that there are those people calling for humanitarian aid, those people that are calling for actual response. But then this, we get some, a couple weeks later, you get some sanctions, and that's nice, and it is what it is. I want to hear your thoughts. Who else needs to stand up? How can we help? That's something we're all trying to figure out. I know that's a discussion point we're having. Again, I want to encourage you to check out our website, because there is that brand new blog that Wes posted, is available right now, and is specifically about Cuba and the cry for freedom. It's available on our front page right now. You can find it right under the live broadcast. You can also make your donation today to the ACLJ as we continue to fight for you and fight for people worldwide, not just here in America. We want to make sure that we can help where we can, and your support keeps not only the show going, but hundreds of people out in the field, lawyers, legal staff, video production, audio, everything you see, everything you hear, and trust me, plenty you'll never see, because we are out there fighting for you, the American people, and the people around the world. ACLJ.org, we'll be back with Rick Grinnell.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. Again, this is Logan Seculo in studio here. Than Benson, Washington, D.C., Will Haynes, Wes Smith. We are joined by former acting DNI, Rick Grinnell. Obviously, you know him as the Senior Advisor for National Security and Foreign Policy. Rick, we'll be talking about Cuba this week quite a bit. This morning, you know, there are reports out there that the Biden administration may sanction or is going to be sanctioning some Cuban officials. We're kind of under the conversation of, well, that's good. There's things happening. But I want to get your point of view as someone who has served in these kind of situations before. What that actually means? Is it too little too late? Does this do anything when you're sanctioning people from Cuba, Cuban officials?
I don't know why they're so slow at the White House. I mean, let's be honest. The State Department sanctioned conservatives in Albania. They moved quickly to sanction people in the Balkans and Eastern Europe. But yet, when it comes to Cuba, which is really right on our shores, and we know the country well, and we know their habits well, and we know the communist regime that controls that country well, I don't understand why, when people are in the streets and they're getting attacked, that our government doesn't act faster. We've got to be able to be timely with the sanctions. Otherwise, they just don't work.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's this coming out. We're going to keep people updated. Obviously, we're happy that there are things moving forward. It's just, again, the conversation of what it means. And we just played a clip, Rick. I think you shared it originally, one of the reasons I saw it, from Pitbull, from Mr. Worldwide, the former Pitbull, making a much stronger declarative statement than you hear from the White House. In fact, we're turning to our entertainers who feel more passionate and more maybe in tune to what's going on. And that seems like a sad state of affairs.
I jokingly said that I think Pitbull should be the national security advisor. Yeah. He's doing a better job than Jake Sullivan. Look, I think that this is wrapped in politics, let's be honest. Yeah. The Biden administration and the Democrats have been losing Florida for a very long time. But what I think they miss is that somehow Cuba, over the past years, has become more than just a South Florida issue. It's really an issue for any American who loves freedom and liberty. And they see what's happening right close to our shores. And I would put Iran in the same boat when we saw in 2009 the Green Revolution, where the Iranian people took to the streets. And they were trying to petition their government, and the regime there in Iran pushed back with violence. The Obama-Biden team was very slow. As a matter of fact, have been criticized for maybe missing that moment. And I think that now what we're seeing with Biden and Susan Rice, who clearly is more in charge than she pretends to be, I think they are once again missing this moment in Cuba.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's sad. And it's also unfortunate. We talked about this a little bit earlier, that this, like you said, it's all politics. But at what point do you not read the room and see, for the American people, this is not politics anymore? There is a clear good and bad here.
Yeah, Logan, look, I think that they should just look no further than the cities across America.
Right.
And over the last week have had demonstrations. And again, these are cities outside of Florida. This is no longer a Florida issue. I know the Democrats feel like they've lost Florida. Yeah. So why take up Florida issues? But they need to recognize that this is no longer just a South Florida issue. And people in America want to see what Ronald Reagan talked about, which was that city on a hill, the beacon for human rights. And we should always, whether it's China, Iran, Saudi Arabia, wherever it is, we should stand for human rights.
Absolutely.
Rick, there's also some reports out that the Biden administration is considering maybe increasing embassy staff in Cuba. That would be under the reopened embassy under the Obama administration. And there's, I guess my question for you is, there's good things that diplomatic relations can do. But when you, in the middle of this, signal that you may increase something like embassy staff, does that potentially give more legitimacy to a authoritarian regime?
It's a good question. I think we certainly have to look at it. I'm a big advocate for having fewer people in European capitals in our embassies and more foreign service officers, more individuals representing the United States in places where there are serious frontline diplomacy to do. And, you know, Condi Rice, many years ago when she was Secretary of State, tried to push the Foreign Service to take danger posts and to go into embassies where there were serious diplomatic endeavors to undertake. And her point was, this is why you joined the Foreign Service. It's the Foreign Service, after all. And yet there was a big pushback from people saying, oh, I think it's too dangerous, or I'd rather be in a European capital. Well, of course, they'd like to be in Paris, London, sure, or Berlin. But at the end of the day, I think that the State Department needs a transformation, and we need to be able to have a cone of people, and that's what they call their sector that they pursue, that we need to have a cone of diplomats who are willing to go immediately in situations like Cuba and try to do diplomatic things. We can't always just fall back on military presence, U.S. boots on the ground.
Wes. Hey, Rick, I'm curious, too. You know, if you were in charge for the day, we've talked about on the show, you know, that we need to figure out, because we have Guantanamo Bay there, trying to get the internet back on and support the Cuban people, you know, publicly condemn the regime. But on a practical step-by-step basis, if you were in charge of responding on behalf of the administration to what's going on in Cuba, what are the specific steps you would want to consider to do things to actually make a difference?
Well, let me just talk about an issue that I have long thought would help not only the people of Cuba, but the people who are freedom loving inside China and who are yearning to be free, and maybe include Iran and some other places, Saudi Arabia. But we have the technology in the United States to bring down all the government blockers that block access to the information that people need to understand what's going on. Perfect information is what some grad students would call it. We need to be able to provide that access to the information. And the United States should be unapologetic about using technology to bring down government blockers, to give people access to the internet. By the way, I really believe that this is a part of the America First agenda, because Americans want to help other countries, and certainly we can help by paying for this technology. But at the end of the day, the American people have been very clear. We don't want to send boots, U.S. boots, on the ground to other countries when they should be stepping up and fighting for their freedom. We send our military troops when our national security is threatened, and only when our national security is threatened, to defend America. But we also have to be that beacon on a hill that's helping other countries and people who are yearning for more freedom. We absolutely have that responsibility, but I think it's in a different way than what we traditionally have looked at.
Yes, absolutely, Rick. I think that's a good point. I mean, it's historically something we've kind of done before. We've seen before with radio waves, radio free Europe. You hear all those different things that happened. Why not? Why not use the technology to our advantage? Thank you, Rick, for joining us. Maybe that's something we can look into a little bit more here at the ACLJ and see what work we can do to help the people all around the world. Hey, take a look at ACLJ.org. We're coming back with another half hour. Great new content, including that new blog by Wes Smith about Cuba. You can find that on the front page. And again, any donation you make is doubled right now because of our matching challenge. So if you give $10, there's someone on the other end matching that $10, $20, $30. You know how it goes. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.